Hello and welcome to episode 56 of A Little Bird Told Me, the freelance writing podcast about the highs, the lows, and the absolute no-nos of successful self-employment. You can find us on the web at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com, which is not just our Podomatic HQ, but is also a hive of handy resources and past episodes. Every link and recommendation we give is on there, along with all the links to our website, social media feeds, and subscription options, so it's worth having a look. Subscribing is really worthwhile because there's a new episode out every week, usually on a Tuesday, and there's all kinds of new advice and topics covered in every single one. I'm Laurie Hartshorn, and this week it's another solo episode. My lovely co-host Pip has been struck down by what I'm starting to suspect may be the plague. She is in bed with a horrible, horrible flu, snuffling and coughing her way through the week, sending out what work she can, but I think a podcast would be just a little bit too much. So I'm holding the fort while she coughs and sniffles her way back to wellness, and hopefully she'll be hale and hearty again next week, so stay tuned and, better idea still, subscribe. This week, I'm going to be tackling a topic that kind of makes me the bad cop sometimes. While Pip comes to you with lovely supportive episodes about overcoming rejection, and that was our last episode, I am here to discuss something that's far less friendly but equally important. Now, despite the best efforts of many of us, the myth that freelance writing is an easy, or at least an easier ride than a salaried position, is one that just will not die. What this can lead to is a lack of professionalism on the part of some self-identified freelance writers, often to some quite extraordinary levels, and I will be telling you some horror stories, so stay tuned. I'm going to go through the seven things today that would cause me and have caused me to fire freelance writers. Sadly, I have fired plenty of people in my time, and while it's not as dramatic as if you were firing an employee rather than a contractor, you know, you're not sort of standing up and pointing your finger and saying, get out, to someone, it's still not great. And for the record, I don't like firing people. I try not to do it. I don't fire people for the tiniest things, but sometimes people have got to go. Listen up then for the top reasons that freelance writers fail to secure more work. Reason number one, the first reason I've chosen, is lateness. Now, I'm putting this first not just because it's one of my biggest bugbears, and I cannot tell you how much I hate it, I can't, but because it's something that I've experienced very, very regularly with the writers that I've hired. And as well, I've heard from clients about the freelancers that they have hired, either before me, freelance writers, or in different capacities to me, so say videographers, photographers, project managers, that kind of thing. In a lot of businesses, mine included, lateness on the part of one person can have this massive knock-on effect, like a snowball. Now, while I do leave a gap between the deadline for my external contractors and the time at which my client is expecting the work, because I have to do things like proofread, edit, amend, you know, adjust, incorporate, whatever, you know, I can't just send the writing over as it is. It's still a huge, huge problem. And if everything's put back, what I have to do is communicate the reason for that delay to the client if it reaches them, or I have to work twice as hard in-house, paddling like a little duck with my feet going under the water, while I'm trying to look calm on the surface and saying to my clients, don't worry, it's all fine, everything's going to be there on time, as it always is. And it's just not good. The lateness impacts on me and sometimes unavoidably on my clients, and that's just never, never good. I have to rearrange what I was doing because the work I was expecting to proofread, edit, send off in the early afternoon, say, isn't there until 6 p.m. Now, in one case, in my experience, the work I wanted to upload on a Friday didn't arrive in my inbox until a week later. Now, I was having a busy week, and luckily for me, the deadline wasn't urgent. I'd given the person a good 5 days to deliver the piece of work, and I wanted it by that Friday. As it was, it didn't arrive. I noticed it hadn't arrived. I didn't say anything immediately. After a couple of days, I emailed. I was like, hi, the work that I'm paying you for. Could we have like an update on that? And I got a response saying, oh, I'm really sorry. It's, you know, it's taken me a bit longer than I thought it would. So can I have an extra day or two? So I said, fine, that's completely fine. And that should have taken us till close of play on Monday. Monday came and went, and no work was forthcoming, and it took until Friday. No word, no nothing. I just got the work on Friday, and it was rubbish. It was a rubbish piece of work. It had clearly been rushed through, and it was accompanied by a very short email about how, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been really busy, so I couldn't email you. And that was it. And no, I will not be hiring this person again. That's enough. Now, I would go as far as to venture that about 50% of the people I've hired have been late with work at some point, and crucially, without letting me know. And that is huge. That's something that Pip and I have had really long, frustrated phone chats about as we try and work out how so many people think that unexplained lateness is just par for the course. Now, sometimes lateness happens. You really can't help it. You know, maybe you get really poorly. Maybe, as happened to poor Pip last month, your internet access just suddenly disappears in the middle of a hugely busy afternoon. And in those cases, lateness just can't be helped. What you do in those instances, though, is not just carry on in silence. What you do is you contact your client as soon as you know you're going to be late or are likely to be late. You give a short explanation of the reasons, you apologise, and you offer them a new ETA, estimated time of arrival. Now, I'm not sure what it is with some freelancers. The excuses I've had after the fact range from they forgot the deadline, they lost track of time, they've been really busy, they thought I said Wednesday in general, not Wednesday at 10 a.m. But the point is, as a freelancer, you check the deadline. You make sure you note it down, you put a reminder in your diary, in your Google Calendar, whatever. You get the work done before the last minute. It's your job to do that, and you really should be ashamed to take a rubbish excuse to somebody that you've let down. And not just that, but you do need to realise that it will absolutely jeopardise your chances of making a success of your freelance writing career if you don't get it sorted. Now, in the interests of getting a bit more input on this topic, I put the word out on social media trying to find out what freelancers thought about people handing in work late. Now, I chose to target freelancers because I didn't want people coming down hard on freelancers and saying, yeah, freelancers are rubbish, this, that and the other. All of the people that I'm going to quote are actually freelancers, so these are standards that they expect of themselves and not just other people. Now, an author, J_Wisewoman, wrote, agreed, if you set a deadline, you can say that you will go elsewhere, you have deadlines to meet too. Miss_Christy B, who's a freelance proofreader and copy editor, said, I would ask why they hadn't told me sooner so I could give the work to somebody else, and then I would ensure that I never used them again. Now, as I say, it's worth noting that the majority of people who responded are completely successful freelancers, and they are familiar with the kind of chaos that can pop up behind the scenes when you're working from home. And not one person said that lateness was okay. On the contrary, actually, and I was surprised by this, many of them said that it's a basic one strike and you're out thing. So if you are late and you let a deadline go past and you don't bother telling your client that you're going to be late or giving them a good excuse, that's it, they wouldn't hire you again. So bear it firmly in mind. Moving on to our second point, which is closely connected. This is blurring the lines between the professional and the personal. Now, working from home can mean that the lines between personal and business are less easily defined. You might start early, you might finish late, you might catch up with work on weekends. Often, as a freelance writer, you are your brand. Your name is above the door, so to speak. It might be the URL for your website. It's what people know when they hire you. They might just hire, like, first name, last name, copywriter, first name, last name, freelance writer. So, you know, people deal with you, whatever their query, whether it's something for admin, editing, proofreading, your name comes into it all the time. You're the person there in the middle of the action. So it can be hard to know where your business ends and you begin sometimes. The mistake that I have found that a lot of freelancers seem to make is that thinking that these blurred lines are anybody else's concern. Now, from people on Twitter sending out tweets from their personal accounts reading, please someone employ me, and this has happened to me a lot, and it's never worked once because it's hugely inappropriate, to writers handing in work late or not at all because their children didn't nap at the right time or the kids got a tummy bug over the weekend. I've seen a lot of stuff that kind of just makes me shake my head. At this point, I am going to add a caveat, and it's one that I'm not going to repeat because I do think that this topic, although it's quite harsh, I think it does deserve like a stern talking about. Now, I understand that having kids is a commitment. This is not an attempt to demonise parents, and more particularly mums, who do often get the brunt of criticism. Now, kids are teeny-weeny human beings, they need looking after. And sometimes, even often, they get ill and they need a lot more care. And that's fine. The same goes for having a partner, having a pet, having personal issues. There's always something going on in life. So whatever it is that's having an effect on your business, what isn't okay is allowing your personal life to impact on your client. Now, I have to be really objective in these cases. Normally, and consistently still, I'm a very empathetic person. I feel really bad if I know somebody's having a hard time. But my freelancers aren't my friends. I hire them to deliver work to me because I desperately need that work delivered. Back to my point then. On several occasions, I've had to chase writers to find out where work is. The deadline's passed, I've had no word. And often, when I check in, I find that childcare issues were the problem and that the work was either going to be even more late or, in some cases, not delivered at all. Now, when I've found this out in the past, often the message is delivered in a very non-apologetic way. It's like, yeah, well, I couldn't do this because blah, and I couldn't do that because, you know, my son was doing this. And I'm sitting there thinking, this isn't my problem. I am paying you for a piece of work. I did another tweet out asking people whether they thought the issues I've just mentioned and the examples I've just given would be a valid excuse for lateness. And, you know, slightly predictably, the responses came in thick and fast. Now, there's a professional editor at Who Does She Think She? And she commented, "Oh God, I'd be pretty cross. I mean, that makes it harder for all of us who have kids but are responsible about deadlines. I'd probably just say, though, regardless of reason, I need you to let me know in advance if you can't meet an agreed deadline." Journalist and web editor Black_Kettle tweeted, "Pay them late. Genuine emergencies are the only valid excuse for missing a deadline." And that's about the harshest response I had to the question, although it's actually one that I can now fully sympathise with. I have to be honest. I've had so many experiences now of people responding to my question, like, where is the work that was supposed to be here 3 hours ago, 2 days ago, whatever, with, "Oh, well, you know, this happened at home, and this happened with my husband, and that happened with my wife, and, you know, my kids were doing this, and, you know, my mother-in-law came round." It really does drive me to the point where I think, my goodness, you cheeky bloody monkey. And that's the politest thing I can say at this point. And I'm going to go into some more of the details of how this kind of thing impacts. But yeah, no, I'll hold my hands up and admit that recently, when the freelancer that I mentioned before was a week late with work for no reason that I could see, I did consider not paying them. And I still actually think I would have been well within my rights not to pay. As it was, I did pay, and I did pay the full amount. However, I will never hire that freelancer again. I will not recommend them at all to anybody. And I think they were bloody lucky to get paid at all. All the other responses on Twitter followed the same sort of vein. And what that does is it gives you a glimpse into how people react to freelancers claiming that home life has prevented them from doing a job. Now, even the most sympathetic, and this is by a woman who runs a children's clothing company called Love It, Love It, Love It, and they tweet at Love It, Love It, reads, I'd have some sympathy for childcare issues, but not contacting you to warn that work would be late and say when it'll be done isn't on. So that's the most sympathetic. And the point that I'm trying to make is that I know life can be tough. I know it is. That's the whole reason that Pip and I record this podcast. Because freelance writing can be a total slog. You're on your own, you're juggling home life, work life, clients, kids, chores, workflow, accounts, admins, invoicing, isolation. It isn't an easy job by any means. So our aim is to be just a bit of an island in all the rough seas and let people know that they're not on their own out there. But as I say, while I genuinely do have sympathy and loads of experiences of my own where I've ended up pulling an all-nighter to get work in or chirping happily down the phone to clients like, yeah, of course I can take that extra piece of work on because it's super urgent and I've just been crying my eyes out because I'm tired and stressed. My sympathy cannot extend to excusing a lack of professionalism, particularly one that's going to impact on me and my business and my clients. It is not your client's job to fill in the gaps where you fall short. They shouldn't get to hear about your home life crises. They're your clients, not your friends. So try to imagine yourself in a company. That level of accountability is really, really helpful to bear in mind when and if you're tempted to bury your head in the sand and flake on a commitment. Now, if you're stressed out and you're up to your eyes, text a mate, have a cup of coffee, come and have a tantrum on the Little Bird Told Me Facebook page. Whatever you do, though, just don't take it to your clients and don't let it affect your work. Deadlines are not optional unless you've got an actual emergency on your plate, and being tired, being stressed, having children screaming in your ears, it's not an emergency. Most importantly, if you keep missing your deadlines, you need to look at the underlying issues to the problem. Have a look through our back catalogue of episodes. We have absolutely tons in there about planning your time, organising your week, optimising your client base so that you can earn more without running yourself into the ground. While it's not your client's job to hear about your woes, it's important that you get the problem sorted so you can keep yourself as happy and healthy as possible. Point three, the third thing that would make me fire a freelance writer, is a lack of proofreading. Now, it's something a bit different, and I'm not quite sure, I really don't know actually, why so many writers fall down on this, given that it's a crucial part of the job. But not proofreading work is something that really lets writers and their clients down, and it's something I've come across time and time and time again. I've had work back from professional writers that's badly structured, makes no sense, contains typos, grammar errors, unfinished sentences, duplicate lines, plagiarised work. Even more frustrating, when I open the file, Microsoft Word spelling and grammar check highlights the issues immediately, like it highlights it in red, so you can see where the problem is. Other occasions, I've had people misread the information in the brief and make silly mistakes such as spelling people's names wrong, typing in the wrong figures in a finance report, and even getting a company's name wrong. Now, there's just no excuse. There's no excuse, none at all. And the same goes for leaving the formatting all to pot. Like, I've had people send me work that's half left a line, half justified, some of it's bold, some of it's centred. And it's like, why? Why would you think that is acceptable? Because if you don't do it, I have to do it. And I shouldn't have to do it because I'm paying you to do it. Now, freelance writing isn't just about writing something and then pinging it off into the ether for better or worse once you've done it and you're too tired and bored of it to proofread it. It's about delivering the whole package to your client so that the content is ready to go. That's what they're paying you for. Never think, oh, it'll be okay, and just leave the proofreading stage out of it. Even if it is okay some of the time, it might just be because your client's not spotted mistakes that are there. And on the occasions when it isn't okay, the problem is that it's usually really not okay. Poorly written work doesn't just reflect badly on you, and often if it does reflect on you at all, it's just to that client and anyone they mention the issue to, because it's not your name on the bottom of the page. but it reflects badly on your clients and you're actively damaging their brand. And that's not really fair. That's not a joking matter at all. Equally to the point, what you're also saying to your client when you don't proofread is that you're happy to take their money in return for substandard work. You're telling your client that that's what they're worth to you. It's just a half-hearted job that's not as good as it could be. And like, I don't know about anybody else, I don't want a freelancer that thinks that way. Proofreading is a monumental bore. It is. It's so boring, particularly when you're proofreading your own work. But it is your job to get as close to word perfect as you can. And when it comes to things like factual errors, like mistaken company names and incorrect figures, you risk causing serious trouble or offence. I mean, imagine that you put the wrong figures in a report and nobody spots it and you don't proofread it. That's going to have a huge knock-on effect. Now, Pip recorded a solo episode a little while back on how to proofread your own work, and it contains loads of tips on how to make the task a lot easier and a lot more effective. So it makes it easier and you only have to do it once, which can only be a good thing. So be honest with yourself, and if you are one of those people who really should proofread just a little bit better, go and have a listen. This job, freelance writing, isn't just about being good enough, because that's no way to build a business aside from anything else. It's about being excellent, so make sure you are. The fourth thing that will drive me to distraction when I hire a freelance writer is a lack of communication. Now, this is a funny one. Freelance writing is a pretty isolated thing. And as I've just pointed out, your clients are your clients, they're not your friends. So while I'm not saying that you should be pinging into your client's inbox every hour with an update, like, hey, how's it going? What I do want to do is make a few points about regular communication. It's a bit of an unfair thing, this, because clients can be shocking at communicating. They're terrible a lot of the time. They can be really rubbish. Many is the time that your client will disappear into the ether, either for a few hours, a few months, or for good. Numerous are the times that we send off pitches to prospects and magazines and organisations and get absolutely no response. You can hear nothing from somebody for 3 months on the trot, and then suddenly they're there in your inbox like, hey, I need this work, it's super urgent, I need it now, now, now. And the bad news is that you have to suck it up. You do. Bad communication being the norm with clients doesn't mean that it can become the norm with you. Because, you know, you need money and also standards. You have to have high standards and you have to stick to them. There are times when it's more crucial than usual to communicate, mostly when there's a problem. And that could be the time that you least want to communicate. You just want to get your head down. You want to get through a piece of work, and, you know, if there's a possibility of you being told off because things are pushing the deadline, or they're not quite right, or there's been some amends, you know, you don't want to get in touch with a super scary client who's going to yell at you. As I've mentioned, though, I've had a lot, and it's way too much, experience with writers waiting until the deadline on a project has passed, and worse, waiting till it's passed and I've emailed them going, hello, before they let me know that there's an issue. Now, this gives me nothing to work on, and in an age of social media, I can see immediately if the writer's been tweeting or Facebooking away while treating me to a nice big slice of radio silence pie, and it is so rude, my goodness, it is so rude. There's nothing that gets my goat more. It is so unprofessional. So while it can be weirdly tempting to just duck and cover and deny there's an issue and not communicate with your client, you owe it to them and yourself, if you ever want to be employed again, to let your client know if you've hit a roadblock. The same goes if you're not clear on a brief, actually. If you're not 100%, and I mean 100%, sure of what you're supposed to be doing, you need to check with the client before you start the work, or worse, before you complete the work. Because handing over a piece of work that's completely wrong is just as bad as not handing it over at all. It's all going to have to be redone. As you become more experienced at freelance writing, and you learn to be a bit more assertive and keep people on the phone or the emails a little bit longer when you need them, you can start to see the kind of information that you're going to need from a client in order to fulfill a certain brief. Now, what can be a good idea for things like news articles and press releases, which are, they're not formulaic per se, but you do need the same bones to a story. So like, what's it about? Who's the target audience? Who is involved? Where did it happen? When did it happen? Stuff like that. It can be a good idea to come up with a form for clients to fill in. I've done it. I think Pip does something similar, and it's always gone down quite well. And that way, they know what you need, your client knows what you need, you know what to expect, and you have room to come back to them if the information's just not sufficient. And you can say, look, you've not filled this in, I don't have enough information from you. And it's harder to do that when you've just had a quick phone chat with somebody and then you hang up and you find out that you're missing huge chunks of information. You can feel really daft and think, oh God, well, I've just spoken to them. I can't phone them up and say, well, actually, I need to know A, B, C, D and E as well. So then you just carry on and you write something hoping that it's going to be okay, and it usually won't be. When you're a freelancer, it's just your responsibility to be proactive and professional in your communications. You have to let clients know where you're up to with work, if there's a problem, what you need from them. If you're phased by pinging off an email or picking up the phone, phased enough that you would rather not do it, there's a definite issue. Point 5 that would make me fire a freelance writer is lack of availability. Now, this is a funny one. Although freelance writers do often have to be flexible with their working hours, I am not advocating being at the beck and call of your clients 24/7. As regular listeners will know, I don't usually work evenings and weekends. When I have to, I do charge extra according to the rule that my client's panic is not my panic. So if a client's panicking about something and it gets to Friday afternoon and they go, oh, I need a press release for Monday, if they need something doing from Friday to Monday, it has to be worth my while too, because I don't have that same vested interest. It's no odds to me whether that press release gets sent out. So at the risk of sounding mercenary, you know, you want, you pay. I take evenings and weekends off for the sake of my health and my personal life. And while I do sometimes privately catch up on work like invoicing, admin, biz development, stuff like that, I am careful not to let external work spill over into those spaces unless it absolutely has to. And if it does have to, I'm very careful not to let the clients know about it. I use Boomerang for Gmail, so that if I send off an email at, say, 9 o'clock at night on a Thursday, I'll schedule it for, say, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, on the Friday, so the client doesn't know that I was sitting up at 10, because what I don't want, for my client's sake as much as my own, really, is for my clients to become accustomed to the fact that I'm online at that time and that, ooh, maybe I could send her some work, because I don't want to have to turn around to a client and say, no, sorry, I'm not doing any work for you now, it's 10 p.m. You know, it's not good for either of us. So the kind of availability I am talking about is working day availability. Being around when your clients are around, responding to them within a reasonable length of time. Not starting a project with them and then disappearing off for 3 days while they desperately try and get hold of you to give you more information on the work that they need doing. And it might be crucial information. It isn't your job to sit around waiting for clients to get in touch, but you do need to be reasonably available during working hours. Horror story of my own, I hired a freelance writer to assist me on one of the accounts that I work on. We just got underway with a project, and it was on quite a tight deadline. It was kind of a 5-day turnaround for, you know, a few news stories. And I had an email from them on the Thursday saying, oh, I've decided to go away for a long weekend, so I won't be here Friday or Monday. Is that okay? Now, given that the project was running from Thursday to Tuesday, it wasn't exactly ideal. But it's not my job to tell someone when they can go on holiday. If somebody says to me, I can deliver this work in the allotted time, but I'm going to be going on holiday, then, you know, I have to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. I can't say, no, you can't go on holiday. But I wasn't happy. So I said to them, yes, it's fine, but I need you to make sure that you send me this as previously agreed by 11 a.m. on Friday. So I got no response, and the reason I got no response is that they'd already left. So they said, is it okay that I go on holiday? And then they went on holiday. which was great. Friday morning at 8:15 a.m, so nice and early, they sent me the first part of the work. So my initial thoughts were, yay, great. Then I opened it, and it was terrible. It was just the worst thing. It was not answering the brief at all. It didn't even nearly meet the brief. The brief was a dot to this piece of work. And worse, I couldn't do anything with it because I needed the information from the writer on the sources that they'd used. I needed to be able to check the information they'd given me, and I hadn't been given the information on where they'd got it from. So I emailed back 10 minutes after they'd sent that email, and I got no response. 11 a.m. came and went, and that's when I'd been due to send the work over to the client. Now the problem really wasn't just that that piece of work was late, but that I'd got different parts of the project coming in from different freelance writers, so all of the work was held up while I was waiting for this one person. I texted them eventually, and I don't like doing that because I find it quite intrusive, but I needed the work, so I texted them politely, and I got a response saying that they were on the motorway, on their way to this lovely weekend away, but that they'd send me the work shortly. So I thought, okay, you know, gonna be a few hours late, but okay. So I got in touch with my client. I said, look, there's been a slight delay. I'm going to be a couple of hours late on this. I'll have it over to you this afternoon. Cut to Tuesday. We were on Friday, remember? Cut to Tuesday. I heard nothing from the writer. I had a quick look at Twitter, and they were responding to other people about cheery things, but I had no update from them at all. I emailed eventually on Tuesday, and I got a lengthy response about why they hadn't been back in touch, finishing up with, I've decided I'm not going to do it. And I cannot for the it's making me cross just thinking about it. You cannot, listeners, you cannot imagine how cross I was. So cross. Because I can't for the life of me think why you would, one, do this to somebody, full stop, and two, think that it was okay. And three, while I'm on the numbers, do this to somebody who was paying you for a piece of work. And I've rarely been so shocked in my, it's actually more than 10 years as a freelance writer now, because I would never, never do something like that to a client. And while it is an extreme example, I grant you, it's not entirely removed from the actions I've seen with a lot of freelancers. One writer I hired delivered 3 pieces of work in a row late. The third piece was so poor that I had to rewrite it, and I mentioned this to the writer, who didn't get back to me for a week. But when they did get back to me, they said, oh, you should tell me next time, I'll do the amends. So next time, the fourth time work was needed, it was late, again, and I got in touch immediately after they'd emailed, and I said, look, these are the amends that I'm going to need. I got no response. 24 hours later, I emailed again to ask what was going on, and they quit. Which was great, so I did the work myself after waiting for days. The main issue with not communicating, it's giving me the shivers just thinking back over all my horror stories, but the main thing with not communicating is that it's so much worse than just emailing to say, do you know what, I can't do the work, I'm not going to do the work, even I can't be bothered to do the work, you know, screw you, get lost, because you leave people hanging. The knock-on effect of my business of waiting around for these people to find out what's happening is huge, and the stress is massive. I have to hang off making decisions because I'm waiting for someone to email me back, and in my opinion, it's not okay to send off a piece of work and then disappear for more than a day, leaving your client to sit around and wait for your response, because work does often need slight amends or big amends. So being available for that kind of thing as well is just par for the course. The sixth and penultimate thing that will cause me to boot a freelance writer out of my books is basic skill gaps. Now this one's pretty obvious, so I'm going to keep it brief. And you'd think this wouldn't need saying, but sadly it does. Too often I've come across writers, and you mustn't think that I'm making this up, honestly, I'm really, really not. You know, when I say, ooh, too often I come across these writers, I'm doing my best to keep them anonymous, much as I'd like to put their heads on a stick and let everyone see what bad freelancers they are. But too often I've come across writers who don't know how to optimise digital content, they don't know how to write a press release, they don't know how to write a blog post, they don't know how to invoice, Now, if you're advertising yourself as a freelance writer and you are taking money for the work you do, quite right, it's your responsibility to know what you're doing. If you don't know how to do something basic and you tell your client as much, that's inconvenient enough. Like, no one's saying you have to know everything. We all have our own areas of expertise. But things like at least a basic knowledge of SEO conventions, they're not optional in this day and age. What's worse, though, is when writers don't know how to do something and they don't tell you, but they just give it a go anyway. Now, with all the online training material available for free, and Pip and I have done a number of past episodes on improving your skills, so get looking through the back catalogue if you think you've got any gaps. There's just no excuse for doing a hash job because you don't know how to do something. One, if it's something simple like a press release, then for goodness sakes, get yourself on Google and have a look at some examples. If it's something more complicated, like creating SEO web content, having a pop at it is not acceptable. It will leave your client paying for rubbish work. You can't guess at these things. That's why people do SEO training, because you can't just pull it out of your hat. Honestly, it's so silly. You can't guess at things like SEO copywriting and then accept your client's money. It's so not on. Now, I've caught a number of people out on this, and it sounds like I enjoy hunting out these kinds of messes rather than them just landing in my inbox. I really don't. So when somebody sent me over a piece of work that's not even nearly what it's supposed to be, I've had to say, "You've never done this before, have you?" And then there's been the awkward, like, sorry, moment, and I'm left with a rubbish piece of work, a looming deadline, and a decision as to whether or not to pay for the work and rehire the writer. And it's an all-round mess, so please, for my sake, if nothing else, don't put clients in that position. Final point, number 7. Now, this last freelance writing fail was suggested to me by a successful journalist on Twitter, Tariq Musa, and it's something that resonated with me immediately, and that is being dismissive of corrections and amends. Now, when you're writing for a client, when you're working for a client, it's important to recognise that every business, every company, every publication, every brief is different. You have things like audience, subject, style, tone of voice, brand, conventions, even personal preferences to bear in mind. So when your client comes back to you with amends, what you shouldn't do is throw a tantrum. Now, I've gone out of my way always to offer a lot of training and feedback to the writers that I hire, particularly if they're less experienced than me in certain areas or just full stop. What shocked me is that when I've had to go back to a writer with less than fantastic feedback, and the crucial phrase is, had to go back to a writer, because otherwise what are you suggesting that I do? Pay for the work and just carry on? No, it's not an option. So I go back to the writer with less than great feedback, and I get a whole load of attitude in response. Now, if after 10 years plus, I don't have the guts to dismiss what a client says to me about my writing before at least checking up on what they're saying, I am kind of at a loss to see why someone who started out, say, 6 months ago would think that it's a good idea to talk down to someone who is, one, more experienced, and two, paying them for work. Now, sadly, as I say, it seems like it's not just me that this happens to. Now, Tariq states that his pet peeve is when journalists and writers are, quote, rude, unresponsive, and dismissive without good reason of editorial changes. Now, Tariq has publications like IO9, New Statesman, The Guardian, New York Times, New Yorker, Forbes, TheBrowser.com, and the BBC on his resume. Now, somebody like this knows just a little bit what they're talking about. And the idea that freelance writers are giving attitude to anybody, let alone somebody like this, about suggested amends is just something that, oh, it just strikes me as completely outrageous. Being a freelance writer does not mean being a doormat. But while you might often work in isolation, you have to accept that you're not writing for you. Your content needs to be suitable for a wider and often very specific audience with its own needs, its own preferences. If you want to write about what you want to write about and you don't want any feedback or guidance, write for yourself. Freelance writing, particularly corporate content, is about your clients, not you. And if nothing else, the less receptive that you are to feedback, just the less likely you are to be a good fit with that client. Now, nobody likes being told that their work isn't up to scratch, which is why Pip's last solo episode was about dealing with rejection. But if you have a tendency to think you're 100% right and your clients are just being annoying and scummy by daring to request amends from you, you are in the wrong job. This kind of self-absorption is a fatal flaw in a freelancer for me, and that's probably why I've saved it till last. And it can manifest itself in different ways, not just in refusing to tailor your writing to a client or a publication's preferences. Now, a few examples. In the past, I've seen people moaning about the fact that publications don't approach them to pitch rather than them having to approach the publications. I've seen people whinging about the fact that companies only approach them with work that they don't find interesting. I've seen somebody moan that, why are companies coming to me with this kind of work? That's no use to my portfolio. As though that's a motivating factor for hiring a freelancer. And I've seen people who only want to write about very niche, very interesting topics. Usually they have no experience to be able to be so choosy. And people don't enjoy marketing. They just want clients to come to them. Now, these are the kinds of warning signals, all of these things, that make me think that freelance writing is not the job for everyone. It's certainly not, and this just underlines it. In a salaried role, and I'm not saying that you can take the proverbial in a salaried role, but you can slump and moan your way through the boring bits to a certain extent, and you still get paid for every hour that you spend at work, at least you should. And again, to a certain extent, you can leave some of the menial stuff behind you as you progress. Now, with freelancing, while you should be able to become more choosy about the work that you take on as you become more experienced, you will always have to put your own preferences on one side when it comes to, say, accommodating client preferences. That's what makes us different to authors. So those are just 7 of the reasons that I would fire a freelance writer. And while it's not nice to think you can lose your clients, it's far better to sit there thinking, gosh, that Laurie sounds mean and I don't like the sound of her, and get thinking about it in advance than to actually have it happen because of silly, avoidable mistakes on your part. Now, freelance writing is hard enough without shooting yourself in the foot and leaving clients looking elsewhere for their future content writing needs. If you've listened to this and you think I sound horrid and it all sounds scary, take heart. The fact is that these are basic things, and I'm not going to pretend that they're okay. I'm not going to pretend that they don't need sorting out. If you're doing these things, if you're handing in work late, if you're not communicating with your clients, if you don't know how to write a press release, you need to book your ideas up. But take it from me that a lot of freelance writers I've encountered muck up in these ways, not just once, but again and again and again. And they don't respond well to it either when you say to them you've mucked up. You know, they take it really, really badly. So while it's bad news for them, it's good news for you, particularly if you're the kind of person that says, all right, here's a gap, here's something that I'm doing that's not good enough, let's get it sorted. When a lot of freelancers are failing at things like basic courtesy and professionalism, you should take the chance to get right ahead and just scoop up all that business that they're losing. It's good news for you. It's a really competitive world out there. So if you can boost your skills, market yourself well, and deliver work that, while it won't always be perfect, no one's perfect, it always meets a good standard in terms of quality and customer service, you're already well ahead in the game. Now, Pip and I are always here to offer guidance if you're stuck with anything, and much as I sound scary, just because I tackle the scary topics, I'm really not. Do come and have a chat to us on Facebook, Twitter, or by email. You can find all of our details at our Podomatic homepage, and that's at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com. And now it is time for the Little Bird Recommendation of the Week. My recommendation this week is a super handy post from HubSpot, and I think it goes very well with what I've been talking about today. Now, this post is an inbound marketing glossary, and it lists a whole host of marketing terms that you'll need to know and understand at some point if you want to be as successful a freelance writer as you can possibly be. As I said earlier, writing doesn't happen in a vacuum. Content is an integral part of a content marketing strategy, whether that's a formal or an informal strategy. It's part of a bigger network of things. And in most cases, and it's super important to be able to have discussions with clients and with even associates using professional terms. You can't just say, oh, but I'm just a copywriter. Like, I've had people say to me, oh, I don't know, I've not really done that yet. You just don't do that. No, it doesn't cut the mustard. So an awkward silence while your client tries to work out if you've got any clue what they're talking about is not the way forward. So have a look at this blog post. By understanding these kinds of terms, these industry terms, you'll not just be able to widen your awareness of how content affects marketing, you'll be able to talk the talk as well as writing the words. And sometimes when you're sitting there and you're writing for hours on end, you get a bit tongue-tied. You know, you never know what to say to people when you've actually got to open your mouth. So getting to grips with terms and concepts, importantly, get to grip with the concept as well as the term, like closed-loop marketing, sales funnel, A-B testing, it will not just help to give you the tools to talk with confidence and, who knows, you know, win more business. It'll broaden your understanding of the marketing that surrounds your writing. It's worth sitting down a few times this next week or whenever you've got a spare 5-10 minutes and just highlighting the phrases that you don't know in this glossary and just giving them a really good look over. And I'll admit there were a couple in there that I hadn't come across before, and I'm not telling you which ones. No, so don't even ask. But even just knowing them now means that I can address the issues that I wouldn't have been aware of before. And dropping a few well-chosen buzzwords into your actions. I know Pip hates the word buzzwords, but it's true. If you can just drop a few well-chosen buzzwords into your conversation with clients and prospects, it can really impress. So just take a good look. And that just about wraps up this episode 56 of A Little Bird Told Me. I've been looking at the 7 reasons freelance writers get fired. So if you're feeling a bit stung, please don't. The aim of this podcast is to help you be the best wordy person you can be. If you have any questions at all, as I say, come and chat to me and Pip. You can find all of our details at our Podomatic homepage. I've been Laurie Hartshorne, and all being well with Pip's mega flu, we will both catch you next week.